Glory be to Jesus. Thank God for the word. Thank God for redemption. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you're welcome to another episode on the Everyday with Jesus broadcast. Your life will not remain the same again. I want to say a word of prayer with you this morning. Just a word of prayer. In the name of Jesus, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may see as you ought to see. That you may come to a fuller and deeper comprehension of that which Jesus accomplished for you on the cross. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Such a powerful prayer. Simple, but very powerful prayer. So, we've been studying on metaphors for salvation, and then we are seeing reconciliation. The word reconciliation as used in the Bible, particularly in the New Testament. We have reconciliation in Christ Jesus. Yesterday, I started by saying that reconciliation is a metaphor because in the context of human relationship, reconciliation is having two people coming together to say, okay, we are no longer quarreling or striving. Let's settle our dispute, our differences, and let's, you know, move on in friendship again. And in that case, nothing has changed in the lives of the two parties. Glory be to Jesus. Now let me add this, that sometimes it takes only one person to initiate the reconciliation, even in human relationships. Most times it's not always, both parties that are willing to be reconciled. It could just be one person willing to take the initiative, but the other person is persuaded to agree to the terms of reconciliation, and then they get along again. But in all, nothing is changed in the lives of those who are reconciling themselves again. Nothing is changed. Same old people coming back to say, okay, we missed it, but sorry, let's move on again. Hallelujah. And then they move on. Look at how Jesus taught this in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, I'll read from verse 23. The Bible says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift right there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Have you seen? At this point in time, in this particular case or incidents, it is not even the person that was grudging. It is that the brother of that person, that is that person's friend, has something against him, and then he remembers. Bible says he should leave his gift at the altar and then first go and be reconciled with his brother. That shows you how much God treasures reconciliation. God treasures people forgiving themselves. As a matter of fact, hear this. There's no true forgiveness in the sight of God that does not involve reconciliation. Glory to Jesus. Have you ever heard people say before that, you see, I've forgiven him, but it's just that we can't have anything to do together again? The truth is, you have not forgiven. Hallelujah. You've not forgiven, because what broke you apart or what tore you apart was the offense. So if the offense is forgiven, there must be reconciliation. Praise God. There has to be reconciliation. Because it was the offense that tore you apart. You were going, you were rolling together in peace and harmony before, until the offense came. So the offense led to discord, strife. If you are forgiving the offense, you must come back to how you were before the offense. Hallelujah. That's how God sees forgiveness, and that's how Jesus taught it in the Gospels. Glory be to God. So we said, reconciliation is a metaphor because in the context of human relationships, it affects no change in the parties involved. They come back as the same people, old guys, coming back, their old selves, coming back to say, let's get along again. And then we forgive and set aside our differences, and then we move on. But in the context of salvation, reconciliation affects a change in the recipient of that reconciliation, which we find in Christ. Now, in this reconciliation also, God was not at enmity towards men. God was not the one striving towards men. I mean, God couldn't have been our enemy and at the same time, Bible would say God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. No. An enemy would have provided the means of redemption. An enemy couldn't have been planning salvation. An enemy couldn't have come up with a plan to ransom humanity and to deliver them from the power of hell. No. So God was not at enmity towards us. We were the ones who were enemies of God and hostile towards God. God in his love and kindness reached out to us in Christ Jesus and reconciled us to himself. So, and in that reconciliation, there's a change that is effected in the life of the recipient. Glory to Jesus. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Follow this closely. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'll read from verse 17. You see that all the metaphors used for salvation reveal that there's a change in the life of the recipient. Hallelujah. In the lives of the recipient. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So you see that the man became a new creation in the reconciliation. Hallelujah. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all these things that became new are of God who reconciled us to himself. That is, these things became new in the reconciliation. These things became new. All things became new through the reconciliation that we have in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. By the reconciliation which we have in Christ Jesus, we became new creatures. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Now all things of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Look at verse 19. That is, that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself. How? Not imputing their trespasses to them. And has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So how does God reconcile? By not imputing sins to men. By not imputing trespasses to men. By not counting sins against men. Hallelujah. And then reconciling us to himself by making all things new. Glory be to God. By making all things new. Hallelujah. So that's reconciliation in Christ. A change is effected in them that are reconciled. We are not reconciled as our old self. We are not reconciled as our old self. We are not reconciled as the same, you know, sinners that were astray, that were dead in sins. We are reconciled in a newness. Hallelujah. We are reconciled in a newness of life, in a newness of status. There was a change in that reconciliation. There was a change that came our way, that came through. You know, that came through that reconciliation, that came to us through that reconciliation. A change of life, a change of status. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Look at verse 20. Now then, we as ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Verse 21. For he made him, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Have you seen? So there's a change that is effected. The man is changed from one state to another, from sin to righteousness. He's made alive, he's made new unto God. Glory be to God. So that's reconciliation in Christ. It's different entirely from what obtains in the world. It's different entirely from what you find in the context of human dealings with themselves and interactions and human relationships. It's different altogether from what you find in the world. It's reconciliation that is unique. Hallelujah. It's unique and it's exclusive to what you find in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, and then I said yesterday also that the reason why studying reconciliation is very important is because it shows us an aspect of the work of salvation, an aspect of the work of redemption that might not have been well captured if we were just dwelling on every other sin, remission of sins and all that, without examining the concept or the idea of reconciliation. Reconciliation shows us that man was not just a victim under Satan's hold, under Satan's manipulation, Satan's dominion. Shows us that man himself was rebellious towards God. Man had been instigated, he's been motivated, man has been moved against God by Satan. Man had become rebellious. Satan has sowed in him the seed of discord and rebellion. He had sown in him such distrust and unbelief in God that man does not in any way love God. Man is hostile towards God. Man hates God. Man is an enemy of God. So reconciliation, which is the opposite of enmity, shows us that in the state where we were enemies of God, God came seeking us. Hallelujah. Oh, the love of God. Oh, the love of God. And then look at this quickly. The word enemies, I showed you yesterday, that is translated from, that you know, the word translated enemies at Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Let's look at it again. Enemies. Glory be to God. The word enemies, used at Romans chapter 5, verse 10, is the same word used for the devil. Romans 5, I'll read from verse 8. Bible says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Have you seen? When we were enemies of God, we were reconciled through the death of his son. And that word enemies is the same word translated as enemy for the devil. Hallelujah. Luke 10:19, I give you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That enemy is the adversary, the devil, Satan himself. And that's the same word translated, you know, as enemies at Romans chapter 5, verse 10, used for humans. Glory be to God. So we were that hostile towards God. We shared the same attribute, the same title, the same qualification or description as Satan, as the devil, as the adversary himself. Glory be to God. Amazing. And you see, that's the Greek word ektros. Ektros. E-C-H-T-H-R-O-S. Ektros. Translated 32 times. What does it mean? It means to be hateful. Hallelujah. To be hateful. It also means an adversary. An adversary, specifically Satan. Hallelujah. And then it's amazing that the hatred can take two forms. Number one, it could be passively odious, it could be actively hostile. And I'm going to explain this. Passively odious or actively hostile. Passively odious because not everybody was actively fighting against everything that had to do with God. Not everybody was showing their hatred for God. Not every unbeliever was everywhere fighting against the idea of God, Christ, and all that he represents and he stands for. Not everybody was showing that they didn't want to have anything to do with God, you know, but there were some who were like that, actively militant towards everything that had to do with God. They were opposing the thoughts of God forcefully and actively and publicly. But some were just passive about it. That is, they were acting indifferent. You know, let me give you an example. Very basic example. It's possible you don't like a particular delicacy. Or let's say, a particular snack. You don't like it. But then you are not everywhere shouting and protesting against it. Until situation warrants it. Until somebody is, you know, attempting to try to force you to partake of it. There are those who don't like bread. There are those who don't like beans. There are those who don't like, I was about to say plantain. Is there anybody like that? Well, that would be mysterious. So, but then in case, there could be people who don't like such things, you know, as plantain and anything at all. There are those who don't like anything that is fried. So, but then they are not everywhere shouting against it and, you know, making a case against those things. But when situations warrant it, when somebody now says, I want you to taste this, or why are you not taking this? You should take it. Then you just see this sudden hostility. They just become repulsive instantly. The kind of hostility you never knew existed in their hearts towards those things. So, and that's the same way unbelievers who are passive about, you know, their hatred towards God, hatred for the things of God. You know, many folks are just easygoing. They are not fighting church, fighting anything. Until you reach out to them, you're about to share the gospel, you're about to tell them something about Jesus, about God, anything that has to do with the Christian faith. You just notice a sudden, you know, repulsive attitude. Hallelujah. In fact, some of them may blacklist you from that day. They don't want to ever have their path, you know, cross with yours again. That's to show you that intrinsically, there's a threat for God. Hallelujah. So it's in every man. Forget that there are those who are giving more expression to it, who are loud about it, going everywhere and fighting against the idea of God. Every man outside Christ, every unregenerate person, every man that is not born again, has that a threat for God deep down in their hearts. Glory to Jesus. That they are nothing. So they may be passive about it. They can be active about it. In fact, some of the passive folks are more difficult because they won't speak out. So you they are more difficult to reach because they won't speak out. You don't know their stance. You don't know anything. They are just indifferent on the outside. But the folks who are very active against, you know, showing their hatred for the things of God, everybody knows they don't send God. So everybody's attention is on them. People are trying to reach them. People are praying for them. But there are others who are not showing it. And those are even more dangerous set of people. So every man is regarded as an enemy of God. Every man. Hallelujah. Every man, respective of your tribe, your race, your nationality, your color, every man is regarded as an enemy of God outside Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Not some were enemies. All men. All. That's why Romans 5:10 is so, you know, conclusive about the state of every man. When we were enemies of God, we were reconciled by the death of his son. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. I'll read from verse 6. Romans 8, 7 to 8. Glory to Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 7 to 8. Look at this. Bible says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. It cannot be subject to God. Hallelujah. The carnal mind is enmity, hostile towards God, and cannot be subject to God. Look at verse 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Hallelujah. That shows you how opposed to the ways of God humans had, the carnal man is. Glory to Jesus. Look at Romans 1, verse 29 to 32. Man set himself up as an enemy of God through unbelief. Hallelujah. Or better still, man has been positioned as an enemy of God through unbelief. Romans chapter 1, verse 29 to 32. Glory to Jesus. Romans 1, 29 to 32. Bible says, being filled with all unrighteousness. In fact, let me read from verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. He's talking about the natural man here. Verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve those who practice the same. Hallelujah. Look at this now. You might have missed this because I just read through. At verse 30, Bible says, backbiters, haters of God. Have you seen? Haters of God. By default, the unbeliever is a hater of God. Hallelujah. A hater and hater, the same thing. All correct. He's a hater of God. He hates everything that has to do with God. And I've said, he may be passive about it, he may be active about it. Either ways, he's an enemy of God. Hallelujah. An enemy of God. Unwilling to love God. There is nothing in him that will submit to the ways of God. There is nothing in him that will be subject to God. He is in the flesh. He cannot please God. Hallelujah. You see, that was our state before Jesus came. Such a state of enmity and hostility towards the things of God. Glory be to God. You know, but God is such a great example. My Lord. God is such a great example. Oh Lord. A great example of love, of unconditional love, of unmerited kindness. That shows you, you know, Bible says, if God should mark iniquity, we shall stand. Psalm 103. He says, God, he does not deal with us according to our sins. That's in the Old Testament too. Before Jesus' death and resurrection at all, the way God related with men, God was not dealing with them according to their sins. He says, nor punished us according to our iniquities. God is such a great example. In that state of enmity, God's love was demonstrated towards us. God's love was shown to us in that state of enmity and hostility towards him. Glory be to God. That's why Jesus gave instruction to men to love their enemies, because he says to love your enemies the same way God, you know, brings in the Father as an example of the same. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 45. Look at this carefully. Matthew 5, 43 to 45. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 45. Are you there? Don't mind me, I'm trying to get there. Hallelujah. Bible says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his son to rise on the evil and on the good. And send rain on the just and on the unjust. Have you seen? So this idea of God loving his enemies is not something that happened because Jesus died and rose again. That was his default setting. That was his disposition towards men even before Jesus died. Hallelujah. Do you know God did not start loving the world because Jesus died and rose again? It was the love of God that gave Jesus to die for the sins of the world. So the love of God preceded the sacrifice of Christ. Hallelujah. The love of God was what necessitated the offering of his son for the sins of the world. Glory be to Jesus. So in that state of enmity, God came for us. He searched us out in that state of enmity. Hallelujah. Such a great love. Such a great love. Glory be to God. So look at the descriptions that we have of the unbeliever, descriptions that we have of sinners in the Bible. Very, very dangerous descriptions. Descriptions that, you know, if God were to be a man, there will be nothing like the plan of redemption. If God were to react and relate with, you know, with us like a man, the truth is there will be no redemption, there will be no salvation. Because the descriptions we have of sinners, of unbelievers in the Bible, in the New Testament, are so devastating. They are so ridiculous, they are so awkward and awful. Nobody should want to have anything to do with this set of people. But God in his kindness and his love, you know, God is not man. His love broke through every barrier. Hallelujah. And he reached us in his mercy and kindness. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Glory to God. Bible says, and you made alive who were dead in sins and trespasses, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. Have you seen? Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Glory to God. Look at the description. By nature, children of disobedience. Men schooled in disobedience, men wired in disobedience, men whose lifestyles were an offshoot of a nature that was perpetually hostile towards God. Hallelujah. Perpetually hostile towards God. Enemies of all righteousness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at the Exodus 32 verse 9. See descriptions given to children of Israel, by extension the whole world. See the descriptions. Staggering. Exodus chapter 32 verse 9. Glory be to God. Exodus 32 verse 9. I'll read. Bible says, and the Lord said to Moses, I have seen these people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Stiff-necked. Hallelujah. Stubborn. Stiff-necked. Exodus 33 verse 3 to 6. We find the same description. Exodus 33 verse 3 to 6. Bible says, go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. And when the people heard this bad news, they mourned, and no one put on his ornaments. For the Lord said to Moses, said to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come up in your midst in one moment and consume you. Now therefore take off your ornaments, that I may know what to do to you. Of course, notice that this was from the Old Testament at this point in time was being operated by angels, dispersion of angels. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. If you need an evidence, Hebrews 2, verse 1. Bible says, therefore, let us give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip away. For if the word spoken by angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense. So the words were spoken by angels, through angels, and they received the just recompense through the ministry or the administration of angels. Glory be to God. So, but then the point is, it refers to them as a stiff-necked people. Exodus 34, 8 to 9. Glory to God. And this is descriptive of the whole of humanity. Men that are stubborn and obstinate. Exodus 34, verse 8 to 9. Glory to Jesus. Bible says, so Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. Then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. We are stiff-necked people. Look at the description. Look at Ezekiel 36, verse 26. The prophet Ezekiel, by the Spirit of God, aptly describes the state of the world outside Christ, the state of unbelievers. Ezekiel 36, verse 26, glory to Jesus. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Bible says, I will give you a new earth and a new spirit within you, and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Have you seen? The heart of stone. The heart of stone. The heart of stone. So we were rebellious towards God. We were perpetually rebellious and hostile towards God. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 17:9. I quoted this yesterday. The heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Heart of man is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Hallelujah. That's the state we were in before Jesus came to rescue us from sin. Hallelujah. So in the reconciliation, we see the goodness of God. We see how God demonstrates his love towards men in spite of their state. We see how, though we were hostile towards God, though we were enemies of God, God sought us out in his kindness, in his love. God didn't deal with us as enemies. If God were to give us what we deserved as enemies of God, you know, it's so funny. Man setting himself up against God as an enemy, it's so funny. Who are you? Who were we? Hallelujah. Who were we? What could we have done towards God? What could we have done towards God? Could we have done anything towards God? What significant thing could we have achieved towards God? Nothing. We couldn't have dethroned him. We couldn't have stripped him of his power, of his authority. We wouldn't have done anything. We wouldn't have, you know, put an end to his dominion and reign. We wouldn't have done anything to God. We were such an insignificant enemy. Hallelujah. So, there was nothing in us that made God come and seek us out. God didn't come to make peace with us because he felt we were such a threat. That if I don't quickly rescue this, if I don't quickly reach out to this guy and make friends with them, and they might destroy my kingdom. No, there was nothing. We were not a threat. We were so irrelevant and insignificant. Glory to Jesus. So, what is man that you are mindful of him? There was nothing in us that drew God's attention to us. That's why it's completely unconditional, unmerited. It's completely based on God's benevolence and mercy and goodness in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So, like I said yesterday, in reconciliation, we see the greater seeking the lesser. We see the significant one seeking out the insignificant one. We see the one who is relevant all by himself, seeking out those who have made themselves, who were trying to be relevant. And we're irrelevant in the scheme of things. Glory be to God. God sought us out in spite of our enmity and rebellion towards him. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So we see that in that reconciliation, there's a change effected by God. God transformed us. Hallelujah. Look at Ezekiel chapter 36. Look at it carefully again. Let's look at it carefully as I begin to close. Ezekiel 36. Hallelujah. From verse 25. Then I'll sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean, and I'll cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. There's a change, there's a transformation. I'll cleanse you. Hallelujah. I'll cleanse you from all your filthiness. I'll cleanse you from all your filthiness and all your idols. I'm going to change you and transform you. Glory be to God. And you see, this is just a way of a metaphorical way of speaking when he says, I'm going to sprinkle clean water on you. He was not referring to water, of course, we know. See, it's just a metaphor. That means God says, I'm going to cleanse you, I'm going to transform you, I'm going to change you. There's a transformation that will come your way because of redemption. Look at verse 26 again. Verse 26. Hallelujah. Bible says, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh. Have you seen? There's a removal of something. There's a taking away of something. There's a cutting away of something. This is also a metaphor. Heart of stone speaks of rebellion. I'll take it out. The old man is gone. Hallelujah. I'll take it out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Verse 27, I'll put my spirit within you. You see that there's a change. Just like in remission of sins, there's a change. We see how that the man receives a new life in justification, the same, because they are all the same. They are all connected together. So I will put my spirit within you. Having taken out the heart of stone, I'll put my spirit within you. Hallelujah. And I will take the heart of stone, I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. I'll cause you to walk in my statutes. Hallelujah. We are given the capacity, the ability to walk unto all pleasing, to walk unto all pleasing, to walk in righteousness, to please the Lord in our ways. Hallelujah. I will cause you. We are not the ones to make ourselves walk in his statutes. He's the one who will cause us to do it. How? By the giving of his spirit. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Look at this now. It says, and you keep my judgments and do them. Have you seen? Have you seen? There's a change. Hallelujah. There's a change. Something happened. Something happened. There was a transformation that took place deeply in our hearts when we met the Lord Jesus. In that reconciliation, there's a transformation. Glory be to God. So that means we are saved from a state of enmity in the which we were rebellious towards God, we were hateful and hostile towards God, to a point where, or to a place and a status and a position where God has now become our delight. Ooh, hallelujah. God has become our delight. We now love the Lord. You know, how many of you can testify to this? Wherever you are, you can testify to the fact that you love the Lord. And remember, I said to you in one of the podcasts, in one of these podcasts, how that there's no commandment on loving God in the New Testament. Why? Because it's inbuilt. Glory to Jesus. It comes with the nature of righteousness we have received. It comes with the new life that we have received. You don't need to instruct the life of God to love God. Woo! Hallelujah. You don't need to instruct the life of God, the Spirit of God, to love God. It's natural. So it comes with that new life. In that new life, the life of God cannot hate God. So there's no instruction about loving God. There's an instruction for loving men. But there's no instruction for loving God, because naturally we have been wired and, you know, we have been wired and built to love the Lord. It's in our nature. Hallelujah. So we are no longer hostile to God. In the reconciliation we have received, there's a change that has been effected in us that makes us love God naturally, that makes us well disposed towards God, that makes us favorably disposed towards God. Hallelujah. We love the Lord. We delight in him. We love the Lord. We delight in him. We want to serve him. We love him so much that when we miss it, when we are not doing the things we are meant to do, when we are not going the way we are meant to go, we know it in ourselves. There's a feeling of discomfort. There's an unrest. Hallelujah. There's an unrest. There's a dissatisfaction deep down within our hearts. We know we are not doing what we are meant to be doing. And we are desiring to get back on track. It's inbuilt. Glory be to God. It's inbuilt. The Spirit of God, the life of God within us is always yearning to live for the Lord. Hallelujah. We've been delivered from enmity, delivered from a state of hostility towards God. We are no longer enemies of God. We have become friends of God, and we delight in the things of God. We delight to live for God for the rest of our lives and our days. Glory be to God. We'll continue this study tomorrow. Do good to tune in. Invite somebody. Invite your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues, your classmates. Let's come together. Have a great time in the Word of God. Don't forget to have a great day full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost. The same, full of, you know, funny enough, somebody said the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, they are two different things. Actually, they are the same. Hallelujah. Be full of the Spirit, of spiritual songs, of prayers, and be a blessing to somebody. Share the gospel with somebody today. That's how to have a great day, and see you in the next episode.